Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to once again offer worship and praise to God. We would like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad and pass that on to your neighbors. And in the announcement page of your bulletin, be mindful of all the activities taking place in the life of the church. We especially lift up that there is no August board meeting today, as there typically would be on the last Sunday of the month, simply because we don't have any business that needs voting attention at the present time. And we are always grateful for everyone's assistance with the food pantry, as that is such a great benefit to so many people. So I would like to call upon Ryan to lead us with our call to worship. Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I would like to remind you that this Wednesday, August 30th at 7, the choir rehearsals are going to start back up. And I know you, I look at you every single Sunday, and I see you hold the hymnals up, and I hear you sing, and I know you can. And so if you're someone who is thinking, man, maybe this is the time, I invite you. If you're someone who just loves singing and doesn't want anyone to hear you sing, well, just come sing with us on Wednesday, and you don't have to sing with us on Sunday. And then maybe I'll convince you later on. Anyway, just wanted to remind you. I invite you now to stand for the call to worship. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and be safe.
Seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire.
Give yourself to the Lord, trust in him, and he will help you.
He will make your righteousness shine like the noonday sun.
We'll now sing hymn number 714, all stanzas of For the Fruit of All Creation.
For the fruit of all creation, thanks be to God. For good gifts to every nation, thanks be to God. For the plowing, sowing, reaping, silent growth while we are sleeping. Future needs in earth's safekeeping, thanks be to God. In the just reward of labor, thank God's will is done. In the help we give our neighbor, God's will is done. In our worldwide task of caring for the hungry and despairing, in the harvest we sharing, God's will is done. For the harvests of the Spirit, thanks be to God. For the good we all inherit, thanks be to God. For the wonders that astound us, for the truths that still confound us, most of all that love has found us, thanks be to God.
May we pray. Holy and gracious God, we assemble in this sanctuary to worship and honor your holy name. Here in your house, we find assurance and comfort in the presence of fellow believers. Here in your house, we feel close to your living presence through the blessing of your Spirit. As Hebrews 4, verse 16 tells us, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. It is in the name of Christ that we offer this prayer in praise and thanksgiving. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. I have something for each one of you. A toothpick. Yeah. No snacks to go with your toothpick. Just a toothpick. Just a toothpick. Okay. Come on, just take one. Oh my goodness. Okay. Now, what I want you to do with that toothpick is see if you can break it. Yeah, break it. Yeah, break it. That's pretty easy to do, isn't it? They break pretty easy. Now, Kim, can you hand out one of the bundles to everybody for me? Can you grab a bundle and pass it down? Pass it down. Everybody grab a bundle of toothpicks. Now, when you get your bundle of toothpicks, what I want you to do is try and break them. Try and break your bundle. Look at the determination on that face, man. Try and break your bundle. No, just try and break it like you did your toothpick. That's really hard, isn't it? Yeah. No, you can't untie it. You got to leave it together. You know why? This is kind of like us. If we're all by ourselves, we aren't as strong when we're by ourselves, are we? One person on their own isn't as strong as a whole lot of people together. This is like our church. If we try to be a church by ourselves, what happens? We break real easy, don't we? We're not very strong. When we work together, when all of us work together and help each other and support each other, then we're strong. I see. So, it even tells us in the Bible that we're better together. It says in Ecclesiastes, it says two are better than one. Because if one falls down, there's another one to help them up. And in Proverbs, it says, just as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, makes them stronger. If I help support you, and you help support Jeffy, and Jeffy helps support Dagny, and we all keep going down the line, and we all help each other, we end up being much, much stronger. Should we have a little prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that our congregation can work together. Thank you for giving us people who support us and that we can help support. Help us always to remember your words when you tell us we should follow the commands of God always. And one of those is to love one another. Be there for each other, support each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. My thanks to Kathy for overseeing the pastoral concerns of this last week while I made my way down to San Antonio for the memorial service for my brother Mark. Thank you, Kathy. We lift up in prayer Randy Squires as he has started up the application process for a kidney transplant at Research Hospital as we pray that all that progresses well for Randy and Jerry, also for you, as you're just a little further ahead in the process than Randy is there at Research. Also, we want to lift up Melanie, the daughter of Sam and Jane Campbell, as Melanie is in rehabilitation after having a knee replacement surgery this past week. Also, Edna Williams is at Ignite Rehabilitation, and Charles and Amy Roberts were both here at the 8:30 service. We praise God for that, because last Sunday Charles was recovering from a minor stroke and was in the hospital last Sunday afternoon. We lift up continually Ed and Shirley Keel in the midst of their rehab at home, and Bob Settles as he is at the Newmark Care Center. Ryan, we lift up your mother, Lori, every day as she continues her recovery. And we also keep in prayer Susan Hanks and Philip Woods, and we're mindful of Katie Turner's Uncle Tony and Johnny Sturwald in the midst of his recovery, and Perla Mora's niece, Michelle, among other folks that we've been remembering week after week. May we go before the Lord's presence in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, we consider it a privilege to once again assemble in your house. It brings us great joy to offer you praise as we hope our expressions of worship are indeed pleasing in your sight. As we lift up to you the names of dear family members, friends, and many others whom we know are in need of your great grace, and in many instances in need of your comfort and healing presence, we give you thanks for prayers answered, even as we especially affirm that the great victory is truly won in the glory of your eternal realm. As each of us make our way through the challenges we face with each passing day, we recognize that many circumstances can seem daunting and at times insurmountable. But may it be with a measure of spiritual assurance that we press on, for through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 41, you tell us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And although there are certainly those times in which we wish your presence would walk with us in this earthly realm, we find assurance that it is in the spiritual realm in which we will find our greatest assurance. For your strength and glory does not reside merely in this temporal realm, but in the depth and breadth of your heavenly existence. As Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Thus, it is with reassured confidence that we press onward, O God, as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the 16th of May of this year, back in San Antonio, we had just finished the graveside service for Tom Jones, the father of my brother-in-law, Robert. Walking back to our cars, I was intent in my task of walking closely beside Greg Wilczek, for Greg had just nearly stumbled to the asphalt, and I was determined to catch him if his instability were to reoccur again. After several ankle surgeries, Greg had difficulty walking, but his health concerns were survivable. Walking beside one another, we reminisced about the many occasions in which we had enjoyed each other's company. A few decades ago, when both of us were so very much younger, spryer, and indeed slimmer. A mere 13 weeks later, during last week's journey to San Antonio, I noted, however, that Greg wasn't at the service for my brother on the 23rd of August, as I am certain that he would have been if he could. For you see, Greg passed into the Lord's presence just a few days ago after a very sudden bout with cancer. There was no opportunity to walk alongside Greg Wilczek this past week. Yet it is in Christ our Lord who gives us the assurance that we'll all one day walk alongside one another in God's heavenly realm and pick up where we've left off in this earthly time. This reassurance we celebrate as we partake of the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper and remember with gratitude how our Lord Jesus became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we may be all reunited with God and with dear loved ones forevermore. We prepare our hearts to receive God's great grace as we turn to our communion hymn. This morning it's hymn number 420, I Come With Joy. We sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5, please.
I come with joy, a child of God, forgiven, loved, and free. The life of Jesus to recall, in love laid down for me. In love laid down for me. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share, each proud division ends. The love that made us makes us one, and strangers now are friends, and strangers now are friends. Together met, together bound by all that God has done, we'll go with joy to give the world the love that makes us one, the love that makes us one.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in prayer.
Lord God in heaven, Bless this moment as we come together to break and eat this bread and drink from this cup in remembrance of the death of your Son on the cross. With your grace and mercy, encourage us to still our hearts. As we partake of this bread and wine, we pray you will fill our lives with your blessings of peace and salvation. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
chapter 6, verse 38 tells us, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. With these thoughts in mind, Gail offers a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. Now we give you our tithes and offerings. Please accept them and use them for your kingdom and your glory. May they be a great blessing to many. We ask this in the powerful name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. May we stand? Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I share with you a text from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the wife of Zebedee came to Jesus with her two sons, bowed before him, and asked him for a favor. What do you want? Jesus asked her. And she answered, promise me that these two sons of mine will sit at your right and your left when you are king. You don't know what you're asking for, Jesus answered the sons. Can you drink the cup of suffering that I am alone to drink? We can, they answered. You will indeed drink from my cup, Jesus told them, but I do not have the right to choose who will sit at my right or my left. These places belong to those for whom my Father has prepared them. When the other 10 disciples heard about this, they became angry with the two brothers. So Jesus called them all together and said, you know that the rulers of the heathen have power over them and the leaders have complete authority. This, however, is not the way it shall be among you. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of the rest. And if you want to be first, you must be the slave. Like the Son of Man, who did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life to redeem many people. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, as Jesus encouraged his disciples to transform their selfish ambitions into selfless witness for the gospel, we pray, O God, that we also may be inspired to do the same. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Without question, Jesus' disciples were most likely an ambitious lot, as the majority of them came from the fishing industry around the Sea of Galilee. We realize they had to be, for it is only when you are fiercely ambitious that you will be most apt to sail across the vast expanse of the water and cast your nets with little guarantee of success, and to do that day after day after day. Yet, as many of the disciples ambitiously saw Jesus as the great messianic hope, who would one day overthrow the might of the Roman Empire and usher in the new land of Israel on earth, Jesus knew that this misplaced ambition needed to be tempered into ambition for the glory of God's spiritual kingdom. In today's scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew, we see misplaced ambition on the part of two disciples, James and John. And that was ambition that certainly needed to be curtailed for the benefit of God's spiritual agenda in Christ. In the text that I just read from Matthew 20, the mother of the apostles James and John approached Jesus and kneeled reverently before Jesus. We see kind of like a theatrical kind of expression going on here. This was an expression of reverence that was afforded to one's king or a high religious official. Mark's account of the crucifixion tells us that this woman's name was Salome. Mark's account of this request of James and John does not mention anything about their mother making the request. It is simply the two brothers that approach Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And this account, they don't even bow before Jesus. And in verse 35, they simply say, "There's something that we want you to do for us." That sounds rather demanding, doesn't it? And a bit presumptuous. Matthew's gospel was written about 25 years after Mark. By that time, a kind of sanctity or sainthood status had evolved around the apostles. And biblical scholars believe today that it may have been because of this aurora of saintliness that Matthew just could not portray the apostles as being greedily ambitious enough to make a request directly to Jesus. And so we see the interjection of their mother into the scheme, you see. Yet, even what we must understand is that the interjection was simply made to save this sainthoodness, if you will, of the apostles. Yet, even in Matthew's gospel, note that the mother Salome quickly slips back into the shadows and is not even mentioned again. In both gospel accounts, Jesus goes directly to James and John in his response. And from all this, we can assume that Mark's earlier and rawer, if you will, account of the direct request of James and John is the more accurate telling of the story. And as I mentioned, here we see them approaching Jesus in literally kind of in a demanding sense. Hey, we want you to do something for us. Huh. My, could we stand before our Lord and do such a thing? Back in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 23, the text has Jesus responding to the two, saying, "Well, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? And of course, without hesitation, they say, well, yeah, sure we can. The two young brothers, whom Jesus had already nicknamed Sons of Thunder, because of their rather bombastic and zealous approach to things, believe that they are indeed worthy of a great honor of glory beside our Lord. James and John are still stuck on the thought that Jesus will usher in a great political kingdom and will surely overthrow the Roman Empire. And in Christ's great political kingdom, both James and John are requesting that they be seated at the left and the right sides of Jesus. Notice, they want to be seated. Guards stand, servants stand. They want to be seated in chairs that distinguish them as possessing a measure of authority, power, and might over others. They want to be the generals. We know from Matthew 17 and Mark chapter 9 that the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop had recently taken place before today's story. Simon, Peter, James, and John were the only three present at that event. And even as Simon had declared that he wanted to build tabernacles on that mountaintop to declare the site as holy ground to honor Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, in today's story we see James and John believing that surely Jesus is about to come in the glory of his great kingdom. And since they've been faithful followers, surely they think they are worthy of places of great distinction. So we see that even after all the disciples had experienced with Jesus, his great compassion for the downtrodden, his willingness to welcome little children, to stop and heal blind Bartimaeus, to bring back to life the only son of the widow woman, to forgive the woman caught in adultery, even with all of Christ's great love and expressions of servanthood, James and John are still stuck on the prospects of wielding power and authority over others through positions of great earthly political might, seated at the left and right sides of our Lord. Verse 24 tells us that the other 10 apostles hear of this little event between Jesus and James and John. The text tells us that they become very angry. What we must understand is that their anger wasn't because they were thinking, the audaciousness of you two. No, it probably had more to do with the fact of, hey, wait a minute, who do you think you are? You think we're great? Well, we're just as good and great as you are. Where's our place? It's kind of like, you know, we have the two children who run up to the ice cream truck first, and the others come clamoring behind saying, me too, me too. You see. To all the jockeying between the disciples, however, Jesus tells all of them that it will only be when they understand what it means to be servants of others that they will actually achieve the placement of honor before God. And just a few days later, Jesus begins to share the Lord's Supper, that Last Supper, with his disciples. And Jesus once again portrays his compassionate and gentle servanthood as he washes the disciples' feet, as if he were a common household servant rather than the Son of the Most High God. It probably wasn't until after the crucifixion and the appearances of Jesus in his resurrected form that James and John and the other apostles truly understood the kind of everlasting spiritual kingship that Jesus was offering, rather than a temporal, worldly kingship that they were aspiring toward. And in time, Each and every one of the disciples did indeed drink from the same cup of Christ's suffering as they became martyrs in their enduring efforts to witness to the gospel. James, in fact, was the first apostle to be martyred. John lived the longest as he was imprisoned on the island of Patmos, but both surely set aside their selfish and personal ambitions about great political kingdoms on earth and became witnesses to Christ's eternal kingdom. This is the reality of self-centered, misguided ambition in this earthly realm. It is indeed easily diminished into the fog of insignificance. Back in the 1980s, there was a brand new financial office center that had just opened up a couple of blocks from the downtown Baptist Medical Center where I served as a chaplain. One afternoon, I decided to get some lunch at the rather quaint deli on the beautifully appointed first floor of that finance building. While I was standing in line with a couple of people in front of me and a couple of people behind me, a young man rushed through the door of the deli. Adorned in his expensive suit, his demeanor revealed that he felt like he was really quite important. Looking at the line and then directly at me in my much less costly shirt and tie and jacket. In fact, I think I probably had khaki pants on and a blue blazer like I do today. He immediately sized me up and thought he had an opportunity. He quickly proceeded to step into the line directly in front of me. He surely thought he was far more important than me, and surely thus his time was also more important than mine. He never said a word to me, nor likely did he ever think he needed to. After all, what was I going to say to him? Certainly a bit miffed by his rudeness to all of us standing behind him, I reasoned to myself, well, if I confronted the ambitious suit who was now standing in front of me and a brawl had ensued, surely a police officer would have had a difficult time believing me when I would have had to him to say to him, yes, sir, last name is Patience. The ambition of the young financier in the expensive suit stuck with me for a time. Yet as fate would have it, it was only a few months after the incident that the savings and loan crises began to hit the nation and indeed San Antonio, Texas. In short order, many notable institutions, including the San Antonio Savings and Loan, which had been an institution for decades, along with Frost Brothers Department Store, huge, long-standing institutions, their signs around town disappeared and their buildings boarded up. Many offices in that tall glass structured financial center also began to close, and the new deli on the first floor was soon gone. It was rather humbling to walk by that fancy glass building as so much of it became boarded up and was eerily silent. And as I continued through my years as a chaplain at that nearby hospital, on occasion, I wondered what happened to the ambitious young man in that expensive suit. I realize today he's probably somewhere in his 60s. You see, personal ambition is fleeting and futile. As our Lord Jesus and even the apostles James and John ultimately showed us, guiding one's ambition toward the work of God's kingdom is what is everlasting. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today can be that day. I know you can be transformed by accepting Christ as Lord of your life, the guide of your life. Maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 621, Are Ye Able, Said the Master. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamers answered, to the death we follow thee. Lord, we down eternity, and heroic spirits answer, now as then in Galilee. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them,
thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you the very best as you journey forward in the new week. May we pray. Lord God, your Spirit empowers us to be about your kingdom's work and for the privilege to share in this task of witnessing of your great love. We give thanks and pray for your guidance upon each of us as we depart from your house. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
O Christ, the way, the truth, the life, be with us now, we pray. Direct our steps as we go forth to do your will this day. O faithful guide, in love that does not fail, and give us strength to work and pray, that peace may soon prevail.